Follow Mooney Goes Wild on Twitter
at NatureRTE.
Toads have long captured the public imagination of folklore, music and fiction, and one of the world's best loved toads has got to be Mr. Toad of Toad Hall. He's one of the main characters in the novel The Wind in the Willows by Kenneth Graham, and is also the title character of the A.A. Milne play Toad of Toad Hall, which was based on the book. Dramatised here for BBC Radio in 1973, it celebrates the importance of friendship as a bunch of pals in the English countryside, Mole, Rat and Badger, try to protect their feckless friend Toad from his own reckless behaviour.
He's a good fellow, Toady. Doesn't mean any harm, you know, just his way.
What is his way?
You tell him, Rat.
Crazies. He always has crazies. First it's for sailing, and then it's for punting, and then it's for astronomy, and then it's for carriage horses, and whatever it is, he always has the most expensive, and lots of them, and knows all about it, or thinks he does. And
hello!
Hello, Toady! I thought he'd come along soon. You see, he likes company.
Ah, me.
Hello, you fellows. This is splendid. Hello, old Badger, dear old Rat. Hello, you. And dear old Badger, how are you?
Mr. Toad is an anthropomorphic common toad, and it may surprise you to learn that common toads are not native to Ireland. But it appears that the common toad is, after all, actually present here. A public campaign was recently spearheaded by the National Parks and Wildlife Service and the Herpetological Society of Ireland to report sightings of the common toad in South Dublin and North Wicklow after they had been seen there in recent years. The first toad has now been captured by a member of the public on the back of that campaign and has been handed over to the Herpetological Society. Trevor, as he has been no doubt called after Trevor's toad in Harry Potter, is now in the home of the HSI senior officer Rob Gandola. He's going to be used for information campaigns to raise awareness about toads. Recently, our reporter Terry Flanagan paid Rob and Trevor a visit.
All right, Terry, do you want to come down to the shed here at the end of the garden?
Right.
And I'll show you where Trevor lives now if you want to come on in.
So Trevor is his name. Wow, it's very hot in here.
Yeah, it's balmy, it's tropical, but that's for everything else that we have living in here. So we have
it's well insulated too. The first thing I noticed, it's all the wooden walls and wooden roof and wooden floor.
Yeah, it's a properly, so I call it the shed, and it drives everybody else in the house mad because they call it the garden room.
Yeah, but you have lots of animals in it.
This is our tropical menagerie now. We have our leaf mimics, we have our mantids, our axolotl, we've got some Bornean.
I see a massive big snake in here.
Yeah, that's Vanilla. So she's our Madagascan ground boa. So she's 7'4". I don't know, what's that, about 2.1 metres.
Yeah.
And she weighs about 10 kilos.
Well, we've come to see an amphibian, not a reptile, a snake. We've come to see a toad. Trevor, is that right?
Yeah, so we've come to see Trevor, the famous toad now. He's a common toad, and he was found up in Steppeside, right there at the foot of the Dublin Mountains.
Now, I should say, first of all, toads are not native to Ireland, so they shouldn't be here.
Well, common toads aren't native to Ireland. The Nattajack is.
Well, correct. Yeah. Yes, correct.
So Trevor shouldn't really be here. And before even we had Trevor, we had multiple sightings over the last maybe 8 or 9 years of occasional toad sightings and spottings in and around the Steppeside, South Dublin Mountains, but also over towards Bohern na Breana, so that kind of far end of the Talla end. So if you take Wicklow, kind of is like a C shape and wraps around Dublin.
Yeah.
It's nearly that entire Dublin Mountains kind of C section.
And did you believe they were toads, or did you think that they were frogs?
We knew they were toads straight away because there was photographic evidence provided.
Tell me some of the differences between toads and frogs.
The really easy way to distinguish common toads from frogs is that they have these big parotid glands or parotid glands behind the eyes. So what it looks like is a big oval raised surface, and there's lots of little small holes in it. And what they are is actually the conduits for the poison that they make in these glands to come to the surface, and then the toad uses that to defend itself against like predators. So if it was a fox, the toad squeezes these glands because they're surrounded by muscles. The toxin comes to the surface. The fox gets a mouthful of bufotoxin. It goes, oh, it's disgusting. It may get a bit of a racing heartbeat because that's what bufotoxins tend to do. They're cardiotoxins. And he go, I'm not going near that again. And lesson learned, Toad hops on generally without any injury.
What do toads feed on?
Exactly the same things the frogs feed on and hedgehogs. So slugs, snails, millipedes, woodlice, you know, spiders, caterpillars, anything really that moves around at night time under the dark, anything that essentially they can fit in their mouth. They're likely to be cannibal as well. Most amphibians are cannibal, given the choice.
So they'd eat small toads?
Yeah, probably, yeah. Likely. And smaller frogs and each other and, you know, but I'd say primarily the majority of their diet is likely to be invertebrates.
Right, can we have a little look at them then? Because you have them here in a container, and the container must say is extremely clean. And he looks as if he's hidden away under a flower pot or half a flower pot.
Yeah, so the reason why Trevor's house looks very nice and tidy and clean is because we're trying to keep him in relatively sterile conditions, primarily because we need a fecal sample. I need him to take a poo.
Why?
Because as part of this project, we want to see what he's been eating, and then we also want to start looking at things like parasites, just to see what effect the Irish environment is having on him, and potentially what effect he's having on the Irish environment that he was living in prior to capture.
Now, you mentioned a project that you're doing. I believe that's the Toad in the Hole project, is it?
Yes, so the whole premise of this, of us having Trevor, is that we released this project, the Toad in the Hole campaign, back in the middle of June. And this was all off the basis of these sightings of toads over the last 2 or 3 years. And what we wanted to do was really find out their distribution. We want to find out the demographics of the population, so how many females, how many males, are they breeding, what kind of numbers are they breeding, and just to get a real kind of handle about like what this population is doing, even down to the point where is it one distinct population? Are they multiple small populations? The area where we have confirmed sightings from is, like, we're pushing 100 square kilometres now at this stage, so it is a large area.
And what about the numbers?
So the numbers, and this is where the citizen science, the community outreach really helps. So we're asking people to send us in sightings of toads, ideally with a photograph, or if they have anecdotal evidence that we can then go and survey ourselves. So if somebody's telling us they've seen them moving across the road en masse in spring to a breeding site and then can provide a photo of 10 or 20 amphibians, we can go, well, there's 10 or 20 toads in that photograph. What aren't we seeing? So we know for a minimum there's 20 breeding toads here. And based on size alone, from one photograph, we can say, well, there's 4 females for every 15 males. And then we have like a ratio, a population ratio.
And will they intermingle with frogs?
Of course they will, yeah. Mm. So like in Britain, in Europe, where they occur together naturally, they have a staggered breeding season. So the frogs come out early everywhere. They spawn, and then a couple of weeks later, the toads usually come out, and then they spawn. So there's no real direct competition for spawning sites. They spawn together all the time.
And the toads, do they spawn in water?
Of course they do, yeah. Mm. So they spawn in water. There are some very small differences. Toads don't really mind deeper pools, and potentially deeper pools that contain fish, because of the bufotoxin. The tadpoles are toxic as soon as they come out of the spawn strings, so toads lay strings instead of clumps of spawn like frog. So once the toad tadpoles come out, they even behave differently. They have a very, it's like an exaggerated ego. The tadpoles will swim on their own in open water, like they realise, they know themselves that they're toxic.
Yeah.
And any fish that tries to eat it will get a mouthful of toad toxin, spit the tadpole out, tadpole goes on his way, and the fish gets no meal.
Yeah.
So that's an easy way
right,
to tell
can we have a little look at them then? Oh, you're lifting the flower pot here.
Yeah.
Oh, he is. He's about the same size as a large frog. His colour is probably a little bit browner than the green of the frog. And the skin looks as if it's very dry.
Yeah, so that's another identifying feature of toads. They tend to look dry and warty, which they are. And also, you'll notice that one end of this tub is dry and the other one's very obviously being sprayed water.
Now, he's in the dry end at the moment.
So toads are also much more tolerant of drier habitats. And that's why a lot of the sightings coming in where he was found at the base of a wall, they've been found in a polytunnel, even in this latest weather where it's been quite hot and dry.
Yeah.
The toad's been in the polytunnel. You know, and that's another way really to tell them apart. They look dry, they feel dry, whereas our native frogs look shiny because they're moist all the time.
Now, I can see similarities to the natterjack toad in just the kind of the body shape. But unlike the natterjack toad, doesn't have that yellow line down the middle of its back.
No, nope, he doesn't.
And it's not quite as warty as the natterjack.
Yeah, the natterjack is a beautiful toad.
Yeah.
Not that the common toad isn't a beautiful toad, it's just beautiful for different, but the natterjacks are particularly stunning. And even when you look at the eyes, the common toad has this lovely orangey copper coloured eye.
Yes.
And when you look, if you're fortunate enough to be able to see a natterjack toad up close, they have this incredible yellowy green eye with this lovely black venation through it. Like, it's unbelievable. Like, they're so nice. But the copper iris, like the copper iris as we call it, and when you're trying to be scientific, the reddy orangey coppery eye and common toads is lovely as well when you can see it up close.
He's very quiet, very peaceful there. Like, if that was a frog, he'd be jumping all over the place.
Yeah, so toads also, they don't hop. They tend to walk away from you. They don't do these huge leaps and bounds and kind of in the opposite direction if they feel frightened. Toads tend to sit still. You'll notice that when I took off the lid initially, he was really puffed up.
Yeah.
So that's another toad defensive strategy. They take a giant...
Make him look bigger.
Yeah, they take a giant breath, deep breath, and then they hold it so they make themselves look more formidable. Yeah. Now, where you've got grass snakes and things like that in Britain and in the continent, some snakes have enlarged rear fangs and they can pop them. Right. So they're well used to dealing with it. But you can see, like, to us, you're like, wow, he looks huge. But then he slowly deflates when the risk is gone. So he's not as inflated now as he was when we first took off the lid.
I notice you haven't handled them at all. Any reason for that?
Yeah, I'm of the theory and the practice that the less you handle amphibians, the better. So because I want Trevor to remain as stress-free as possible, I don't handle them. I'll move them when I'm changing the tissue paper and everything in the tank and I'm cleaning it out. Otherwise, I leave them alone. We've had them a week now and I've handled them twice. Mm-hmm. Like, on purpose, outside of cleaning, I've handled once was to move them.
There he's just
turned. Yeah, he's just turned there.
Any idea how they got here, these common toads?
What we're seeing now from a lot of sightings being reported is that people have seen them many years ago, and a lot of them in and around places where there's people with water features in the garden. We also have one confirmed report that they came in with an aquatic plant, possibly. So we're starting to think that it's possible that they were released into a garden as a pet who could tolerate temperate climates. And toads were being sold in the early 90s in Ireland still in pet shops.
So they're probably escapees, pets.
Yeah, or they could be... It's not an intentional release. They may be escapees from gardens, but the people who put them there didn't mean for them to escape into the countryside. You know, it wasn't like it's nothing vindictive. It wasn't, I want to introduce these to Ireland. It's just, I want these as part of my garden feature.
Now, there have been attempts to introduce toads, common toads, to Ireland over the years.
Yeah, there has. And as far as we know, the earliest, or probably the most recent, and also the earliest record of that was around 1850 down in Cork. Somebody tried to release a population of toads, and from all accounts they just didn't survive. Now, usually when you're introducing something or you're trying to introduce something into the wild, it's a numbers game. You have to have multiple breeding adults to sustain the population over time, and it's likely that they just didn't do that.
And what's going to happen to Trevor?
So Trevor's now going to be the face of the Toad in the Hole campaign.
He's famous,
he's a legend, and all the kids who know Trevor the Toad from Harry Potter will all get very excited.
So he's going to stay and he's going to live with you?
Yeah, he's going to stay with us and he's going to come on education and outreach events with us now for the rest of his life, essentially, which could be 10 to 12 years, maybe more. The females tend to live longer.
So he won't be released then back to the wild?
No, Trevor won't be going back to the wild.
And if you get a female, will you put her in with them?
Absolutely not. We don't want to breed them. Like, they're not native here. Whatever's happening with the population at large in the mountains, we don't want to be adding to that.
Thank you, Terry. More information on the website, rte.ie/Mooney. That's all we have time for today. My thanks to all of our contributors, to researcher John Riley and our series producer, Anna Leddy. Until next time, goodbye.
And Mooney Goes Wild was presented by Derek Mooney. Follow us on Facebook, RTE Nature.
Mooney Goes Wild on RTE Radio 1.